Strange News Daily is a production of iHeartMedia.
In a world full of bizarre events, unsolved mysteries, and a billion stories from all corners of the globe, some news gets lost in the shuffle. This is your gateway to the stories on the fringe of the mainstream map. These are your dispatches in the dark. I'm Ben Bolin, and this is the Strange News Daily.
Our first story today. You might have seen the recent memes about murder hornets invading the United States. As it turns out, this is more than just a running joke on the internet. For the first time in history, scientists have spotted Asian giant hornets in the U.S., specifically in Washington State in the Pacific Northwest. The giant hornet was first spotted in the state in December of last year, and scientists believe it started becoming active again just last month when queens emerged from hibernation to build nests and to form colonies. The giant hornets especially target bees between late summer and the fall. This poses a number of problems for the local ecosystem. First, the hornets are dangerous. At more than 2 inches long, they're the world's largest hornets. They have a sting that can kill human beings if you're stung multiple times. While they don't generally attack people or pets, they will attack when threatened. And let's talk about that stinger. It's longer than the stinger of a honeybee, and the venom of a giant hornet is much more toxic. Second, these hornets attack and destroy honeybee hives. It's brutal. Just a few hornets can destroy a hive in a matter of hours. The hornets enter a slaughter phase, that's the actual name for it, where they kill bees by decapitating them. They then defend the hive as though it were their own. They take the bees' offspring to feed their own young. They also attack other insects, but they're not known to destroy entire populations of those. So what do these hornets look like? They're about 1.5 to, again, more than 2 inches in length. They have large orange or yellow heads with prominent eyes. They'll have a black and yellow striped abdomen, and they form large colonies that typically nest in the ground. However, our favorite description of the hornet comes from Susan Kobe. She's a bee breeder at Washington State University's Department of Entomology. She says the hornets are, quote, like something out of a monster cartoon with this huge yellow-orange face. You may not see the Asian giant hornets themselves, but you may see the aftermath of an Asian giant hornet attack. These insects will leave piles of dead bees, most of them headless, laying outside of their beehive. It's the stuff of insect nightmares. So, one of the first questions, how did they get here? At this point, scientists aren't sure. Seth Truscott at the Washington State University's College of Agriculture, Human, and Natural Resource Sciences notes that these creatures can sometimes be transported in international cargo, but no one's nailed down the specifics of the hornet's journey just yet. Next question, what should you do if you run into these little monsters? Well, if you're in Washington, you can use the Invasive Insects app available on Apple and Android to report sightings. This will help authorities prevent the invasive species from becoming a permanent resident, and it will also help bees survive. Again, it only takes a few hornets and only a few hours to completely destroy a hive. And if you see these hornets, you'll be doing everyone a favor by saving the bees. As you'll recall, bees pollinate plants producing fruit, nuts, and vegetables, which makes them crucial to the nation's food supply. They're also already suffering a precipitous decline in population numbers. And don't be a hero. Those giant hornets have a powerful sting, and they can penetrate a regular beekeeper suit. In fact, state scientists had to actually order special reinforced suits just to deal with these murder bugs. So take some advice from entomologist Chris Looney at the State Department of Agriculture. Don't try to take them out yourself if you see them. If you get into them, run away, then call us. It's really important for us to know of every sighting if we're going to have any hope of eradication. Our second story, speaking of the U.S. food supply. Are U.S. food supply chains breaking down? That's the worry gripping investors, shoppers, businesses, and burger lovers alike as this pandemic continues. Tyson, the largest meat producer in the U.S., said second quarter profits fell 14.5% from last year as the pandemic disrupts supply chains and causes processing plants across the country to close down. Total sales for the three-month period ending in March 28th rose nearly $500 million, but the company warned volumes are going to fall in the second half of the year because upticks in grocery store sales are not enough to offset the drop-off in restaurant demand. In an earlier press statement, the company said, quote, "We have and expect to continue to face slowdowns and temporary idling of production facilities from team member shortages or choices we make to ensure operational safety." Tyson normally employs about 100,000 workers, but it's been forced to close multiple processing plants in April after many workers contracted COVID. Those stoppages already led to a supply shortage, and the company took out a full-page ad in major newspapers to warn the public that millions of pounds of meat will disappear from the supply chain. Was it alarmist? Well, more than 1,000 workers were infected, and at this point, at least 8 have died of COVID-19. Tyson currently is not sharing specific numbers, describing the event as an ever-changing situation. The United Food and Commercial Workers International Union estimates that closing these plants temporarily has reduced pork slaughter capacity by 25% and beef slaughter by 10%. On April 29th, U.S. President Donald Trump signed an executive order ordering meat processors to stay open. This was invoked under the same Defense Production Act that had been used to turn automakers into ventilator producers. However, despite this order, some grocery chains, including national chains like Kroger, have begun to limit ground beef and pork purchases in some stores. As for Tyson, they maintain they cannot predict the ultimate impact that COVID will have on business, and the ripple effects of supply chain disruption are already hitting home. According to the financial firm Stevens, 1 in 5 Wendy's are out of hamburgers already. Stevens analyzed menus across the nation and found that around 1,000 or 18% of Wendy's 5,500 U.S. restaurants are not serving any hamburgers or some other meat-based items. The firm states Wendy's is more exposed to the shortage because they rely on fresh beef. I should note, this is not an ad for Wendy's, although I do enjoy their Frosties. McDonald's, for their part, says they have not experienced any disruptions. Burger King declined to comment. So, will people start hoarding meat? Experts, perhaps optimistically, don't believe it will become the new Nintendo Switch or the new toilet paper. Instead, shoppers might experience local shortages. It all depends on which supplier a grocery chain or butcher uses. One other option, which I know a lot of people might hate, you could always just start eating more vegetables. I promise, they're pretty great. Our third story today, we started off with a frightening tale about animals, so why not end with a heartwarming one? Many people have been looking for ways to do a good deed without ever leaving their house. And we can't all donate money, we can't all make masks, but we could babysit eels. That's right. Over at the Sumida Aquarium inside the Tokyo Skytree in Tokyo, Japan, the staff has an unusual problem. Typically, when their garden eels poke their heads out of the sand, they see pairs of human eyes staring back at them, human faces smiling in wonder and delight. But like animals and people across the world, these poor little guys have found their environment transformed by the pandemic, and their caretakers fear the eels may be forgetting what human beings look like. These garden eels, which get their name because of their grass-like appearance when they poke their heads out of a seabed all at once, they could come to see visitors as a threat, especially if humans become unfamiliar to them. So the aquarium has been asking people to check in with the eels via calming video chats. The aquarium's been closed since the start of March. Its garden eels have become used to a mostly human-free environment. As the aquarium noted on Twitter, this is an unprecedented situation, and now the eels don't see humans, except for their keepers, and they've started forgetting about human beings entirely. The aquarium added that garden eels in particular disappear into the sand and hide every time the keepers pass by, and their oversensitive nature makes it difficult to monitor their health. So the aquarium needed help. They asked for people around the world to join a face-showing festival to help the eels refamiliarize themselves with the smiling, friendly faces of human beings. While garden eels are sensitive and notoriously wary by nature, the 300 or so living in the aquarium tank had grown familiar to human visitors, and they rarely hid when they were approached. To get back to that state, the aquarium has set up 5 tablets facing the eel's tank, and users are asked to connect through iPhones or iPads via the FaceTime app. The festival started on May 3rd, and it continues through today. The results so far? Success. So here's hoping it's the first of many virtual garden eel visits in the future. One last note, if you do participate today, once the video calls start, people are asked to show their faces, wave, and talk to the eels, but given the fact that these guys are a little bit bashful, you are requested not to raise your voice at them. That's all for now. We've been asking you to chime in with suggestions for stories you think your fellow listeners would enjoy, to let us know your terrible jokes, or to tell us more about your personal experience on the ground with COVID-19. Let us know by tagging #StrangeDaily on Twitter, or reaching out to me directly. I'm at BenBolinHSW on Twitter, or at BenBolin on Instagram. Today's Strange Daily comes from Brett G on Twitter, who says, "If the proof is in the pudding, does that not make it an alcoholic dessert?" Oof, Brett. Any landing you can walk away from, I guess. Thanks for writing. And thanks, as always, to our super producer, Dylan Fagan, our research associate, Sam Teagarden. Most importantly, thanks to you. I'm Ben Bolin. We'll see you tomorrow. Until then, stay strange.